For example, a computer memory could replace a tape recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Computer operations on filtering of filters could replace real filters,
mm-hmm.
and therefore do what the real filters were doing in the system,
mm-hmm.
Et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this, you know, vision that this was going to be the future.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the problem was for digital filters to replace analog filters, they had to do what they did in real time.
Mm-hmm.
If you were getting 8,000 samples per second in, you had to be able to produce 8,000 samples per second out, or they'd pile up and out, you know, outlast any memory, and you know, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So we understood that our vision of the future depended in part on
the power
circuit
processor.
Engineers designing faster and faster digital circuits,
mm-hmm.
digital computers, or even specialized digital circuits that could do these multiplies and additions and delays and so on that weren't general purpose computers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was about the state of it in 1965. We knew about digital filters, and we knew how to simulate them, and we were starting to build digital hardware,
mm-hmm.
that would sort of do some of these operations as an adjunct to computers. At least they would speed up simulations by making special hardware that you could attach to the computer that would do the particular things that were involved faster than the computer can, but you know, just like building another instruction into the computer as special hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about the state of it in 65. And then this other breakthrough came about, and that was the fast Fourier transform.
Mm-hmm.
Now you'll probably have access to Don
Jim
Johnson's
Cooley.
Paper on the history of the fast Fourier transform going back to Gauss.
Right, I've seen that.
But Cooley's and Tukey's paper,
mm-hmm.
in 1965 got to me as a copy of a preprint or something. I don't remember how it got to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Stockham showed it to me. Tom was he was teaching at MIT. I had taken a course from him,
mm-hmm.
As a special student. You know, the lab let us take one course a term, and ostensibly paid itself for it.
Mm-hmm.
The lab is part of MIT. And so I'd taken a course on, you know, linear systems and Fourier transforms and stuff, gotten to know Tom at that point. This is a side issue, but Tom had come out and used TX2 to simulate the acoustics of a room by, you know, measuring an impulse response of a room and then playing acoustic sounds sampled,
mm-hmm.
through this impulse response. And he had used a program that I wrote, which did this kind of long convolution by, in effect, multiplying the, well, I guess I remembered that wrong. Tom wanted to know what the room acoustics looked like as a frequency response, and I had written a program on TX2 which I had the audacity to call Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a fast Fourier analysis program. It did exactly the computation that a fast Fourier transform did, but it didn't do it fast. It,
mm-hmm.
did it with all the multiply and adds.
As n squared? You mean just
n
like,
squared.
Yeah.
And in fact, it did it by taking the correlation function, an n squared process, and then Fourier transforming the correlation function.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing about this program was that TX2 could be configured so that its arithmetic unit could split into smaller arithmetic units.
Quasi-parallel?
Yeah, I mean, you could configure the multiplication to be four smaller multiplications, and mm-hmm. add to be four smaller adds. I had very cleverly figured out how to do a correlation process and a Fourier transform using shorter word lengths and more of them at once.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was, quote, fast, but it was only four times as fast as,
right.
as it would have been directly.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom was using this to simulate room acoustics. Actually made a significant contribution to the Bose speaker
mm-hmm.
company, which was forming then, by trying to show how these Bose speakers would work in real rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom had gotten to know me first as my teacher, and then as the person who'd written this lightning program
mm-hmm.
for Fourier analysis. And he showed up here one day with the preprint of the Cooley and Tukey paper on the fast Fourier transform. They didn't call it that.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? Machine.
I've got the citation here somewhere. Yeah.
Anyway. And we read it, and it took a little bit of understanding to try to figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I tried to do was something that Tom had shown me in teaching me about mm-hmm. linear systems. We drew a Mason signal flow graph for, first the individual operations involved, and then, more and more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this butterfly structure emerged.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's necessary. I've seen that term before, but I'm just not familiar with it. So I don't know if it's necessary to go into any more detail about what
Mason
signal flow graph.
Edit it out if you like. It's mm-hmm. fairly important.
Mm-hmm.
This butterfly structure emerged. The flow graph looked like a whole bunch of bow tie shaped
mm-hmm.
lines
mm-hmm.
That fit together, and it basically showed a lot of the properties of the Fourier transform algorithm. Mm-hmm. The butterfly diagram was a huge breakthrough. Enabled us to understand the fast Fourier transform algorithm, and it enabled us to explain it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And with, I suppose, a little bit of a messianic streak, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We organized a talk in which we both explained what we understood about the algorithm.